Elder Eddie Lyle, may the Lord be with you.
How are you? Brother Tommy this morning said he is either approaching or the 70. I'm close to the 80. I begin to feel it sometimes too. But I thank God that we have this a wonderful privilege of meeting together in the house of God. I've been trying to walk among these people for 63 years. I come as just a young boy, elementary student, and I've thoroughly enjoyed the Old Baptist all these years. It's not always a bed of roses. No. There's been mountains to climb. There's been valleys to ascend. But nevertheless, we're certainly thankful that God has given us this opportunity. I was thinking this morning, as Brother Tommy mentioned something about the goats. There's a lot of goat doctrine.
Yes.
In the world today,
yes.
You know, when we say something publicly, I'm speaking publicly, and whatever I say can be used publicly wherever anyone goes. So I'm going to mention the television fella that smiles his way to glory, Joel Osteen, you know.
No.
He's got a good goat doctrine, and one sermon, he can relieve the pocketbooks of 10,000-12,000 people. So. But we hope we're here for a better reason than for that. That the Lord of glory, he's the one that can make us. I heard one of our preachers say one time, the Lord never made you do nothing. David said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leadeth me beside the still waters. And I can't make us people to do anything. I've been trying to make us a Duke fan out of Randy Dillon, but I just can't do it. He just won't listen to me. Whenever I look at this scripture, this is the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. It's already been told. We've got nothing to adhere to that is new. We come here totally in the hands of a living God.
Amen.
That we can be relieved of the responsibility that we have. A person called of God, he has a responsibility to preach those things. I believe that Luke said, for inasmuch as many have set forth an order, a declaration of those things most surely believed among us.
Amen.
You know, we have sometimes, I've heard this over the years, why do we go to church? Especially Primitive Baptist, you go sit there all day long, you know. We go there, there is a feeding element, as well as a strengthen element in the gospel of the Lord's Christ.
Yes, it is.
And I learned as just a young boy, I went to a funeral overlooking New River. My grandfather and Elder Dewey wrote and preached the funeral. And he used a text, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began.
Yeah.
And just as a young boy, I literally leaned against a monument. I become so weak, but I felt so good, you know, because I felt that there was power in the gospel of the Lord's Christ.
Right.
Just a young boy. Sometimes it might step on our feet. Sometimes it may, you know, Joel has a feel me good doctrine. The feel me good doctrine that I want to hear is what Jesus Christ done for me.
Amen. Amen.
That no one else could ever do.
Right.
You know, it's impossible for a man to be saved with man. That's impossible. The scriptures will teach you that that is impossible. As the brethren have already told you, it's impossible for the dead to raise themselves. If the dead could be raised within themselves, it'd kind of be like a Christian Unity Baptist minister told my granddad one time. He said, I believe that we could literally raised the corporal dead. And he said, I can scare you to death with your own doctrine. He said, how's that? If you went out to the cemetery and the dead began to come out, you'd run like a scared rabbit. You know, we can't do that. That's not in the possession of man. There's all kinds of doctrines out there. And think about it this way. Satan had his.
Sure.
In the Garden of Eden.
Yes, he did.
He had his own. And no matter who you talk to, they've got their own scripture for what they believe. Back in southwestern Virginia, they took a scripture. I've used this several times. In Adam all men die, even so in Christ Jesus shall all be made alive. Uh-huh. Christ died for everybody, and everybody's going to heaven. And we call them no-hellers. That's exactly what they are. They don't believe that there's any internal, punishment for the wicked, that they'll all be in glory. But here, they used that scripture. And those that believe in baptismal regeneration, for example. Well, John said, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. So therefore, if you're baptized, you're going to wash away your sins and you're heaven bound. So you can take anything out of content, and you can make whatever you want to. But Paul said, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you, godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you a chaste virgin. So, and speaking of the beauty of the church of the Lord Christ. You know, we need to realize sometimes that we're going to be like Solomon. Solomon made the statement that his left hand is under my head and his right hand doth embrace me. But Solomon went further on in the Songs of Solomon, and he said that his left hand should be under my neck and his right hand should embrace me. So it's an up and down with us in this life. Satan is going to be buffeting us on every corner. Where do you think he works?
Yeah.
Where do you think he's trying to be? In places like we're at right this minute.
Amen.
He's not out there working for the dollar he's got in his hip pocket. He's wanting that and he can't have. But he can cause a lot of disturbance and a lot of trouble. And boy, we ought to understand and realize that as we go through this journey of life.
Yeah.
But I fear, at least by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted with the simplicity, that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. This is a simple truth.
Amen.
We were sinners and we were dead. And Christ came to die for sinners. And Christ is the only one that could speak to the dead.
Yeah.
You hath he quickened who were dead, as the brethren said, in trespass and in sin. And I believe in one place he said, the hour cometh, and now he is when the dead.
Yeah.
The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. You know, the more wicked this world gets, the easier they make it for man to be saved. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
We build palaces for it, and great structures. I've said this over and over again. I went through cathedrals when I was in Germany that would make the best that we've got look like an outhouse. But is that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is in the hearts of God's children. If it's in an amber bush somewhere out in the forest, no matter where it is, when God is there, the church is there, and the church is going to be fed.
Amen.
And the simplicity that is in the Lord Christ tells us who we are, what we were. What we were by sin, what we were by nature, rather, and what we are by the grace of God. You know, I had this graveside funeral. And it was an old-timey type funeral in a homemade casket. And they put it down with ropes in the cemetery and covered it with dirt. No vaults. Nothing fancy like that. It was very simple. But there was the dirt on one side. I said, that's all I am. When this body goes down in death, it's going to mold her back to the Mother Earth. Been absolutely nothing there, but I'm going to tell you, I believe in a God that when he returns, there is going to be a body, and it's going to be raised in the likeness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How is he going to do it? I don't know. He'll do it.
Amen.
The Bible says he will.
He
If we don't believe in the Bible, let's go get a Sears Roebuck catalog or something we do believe in. Lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled, to have our minds be not conformed to this world or be transformed by the renewing. That's why I come here. When I pull up to a service station to get a little bit of gas, it's going to renew the energy in that car that I can go a little further. And we come here today to be renewed in our mind by the Spirit of Almighty God that we can go a few miles further.
Amen.
We can be refreshed and replenished by the goodness and the grace of God.
Praise the Lord.
A little bit further. I'm talking about these false prophets. These are the people that plague. They've got a whole generation beguiled. Many of God's children. Think about this. They were waxed great down in the land of Egypt. They become a great nation down there in the land of Egypt. But when it pleased God to bring them out, to deliver them from that bondage that they were in down there, and they crossed the Red Sea, they saw the greatness of God, and they saw the mercy of God, and they were delivered. All of them were delivered. They went across the Red Sea. And here they're wandering in that wilderness, somewhere between the Red Sea and Jordan's River. Their carcasses of thousands, and they perished in the wilderness for unbelief. Who were they? They were as their firebreads had been plucked from the burning. They're God's children. But they didn't cross Jordan. Where are God's children today? Many of them are still wandering.
Amen.
Still wandering out there.
Yes.
In that maze of wilderness. And they wonder. Look down. I see a few of those old primitive Baptists. Oh, they're all dying out. They're few in number. They're few in number. But I thank God that we can cut our teeth on something that is worthwhile. That we can eat meat that comes from the master's table.
Amen.
That we can be fervorous by the greatness of God, the mercy of God, and the power of God. Satan is working all around us. He's the power of darkness. The principality and power, and he's the power of darkness. And oh, does he ever grind and want to deceive.
Yes.
And does deceive us here.
Sure.
In this journey of life. He's real.
Yes, he is.
But we come here. As the brother said this morning, comfort ye my people. You know, I used to go up. My great-granddad was an old Baptist preacher. And my grandfather raised me, and we lived in the same house with my grandparents. And he had a trunk up in the attic. And in that trunk, he had stacks of old minutes went back to the 18th century. And back then they had someone that took down every text that somebody preached from.
Right.
And I would read that text. I would read that text. And I wonder, what did they have on their mind?
Amen.
What were they thinking about? Comfort ye, my people, saith your God.
Yeah.
When we live in a world that cannot comfort us. We live in a time that cannot comfort us. We live in a time of deceit. We live in a time, people of God, when it seemed like the shadowy darts of the hellish darts of Satan are everywhere around about us. But when we can come together, we should cherish the time, use the time wisely to praise the God that
Amen.
Has given us the outlet. Amen. There is an outlet to this.
Amen.
And that outlet is through Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Our Lord.
Amen.
I get excited sometimes about this. So you overlook, a fellow in West Virginia asked me one time, said, "Who are you?" Well, I was going to tell him. He said, "Oh, I know you're that loudmouth from North Carolina." So I'm that loudmouth from North Carolina. But as the writer went on, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And so, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, he's artificial.
Yes, he is.
He's artificial. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Amen.
He hadn't created the moon, or the sun, or the stars, but he said, let there be light, and there was light. In him was life, and the life was the light of man, a light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Where God is, there is light, and he is that light.
Yeah. Amen.
But Satan, he's just an artificial fella awaiting for his term in the lake.
Amen.
And it's straight too. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. Now think about it. Now these are the people. These are the people. These are the things that we should be looking. And we understand that it's molten among, comes among the children of God. That to take the simplicity of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ from our minds and tell us we live in a time, it's a materialistic world in which we live with a materialistic religion. And man professes that because it is to their advantage and it is for them. It could be in their labor, it could be in their business, or whatever that it might be. But man uses religion to advance his own self-interest here in this journey of life.
Amen.
And just as false as it can be. But the fact of the matter is that God has little children that is caught up in that.
Yes, he does.
That is caught up in that. There is a darkness there. But we would love to think, and base our minds upon something that is more true and more sure. And that is, and everything about God is sure. Everything about God is true. Whenever we can come and find ourselves seated together in under the realm of God's love. And whenever he comes into his garden, his spouse, whenever he pours in the oil and the wine, speaking about the spiritual aspect of God, whenever he says, come rise up, my fair, my love, and come away, for lo, the winter is past and gone, and the sweet buds of the earth begin to appear. I love that. Because I feel like that I have experienced that in my life. Whenever the rain is over, whenever the winter is past and gone, whenever the buds begin to appear, a springtime is at hand. A springtime when God comes down to commune with us here in this journey of life. You're a garden. You're walled around.
Amen.
You're a fountain. And you're sealed. You think about that. If you're a garden walled around and a fountain sealed, and he is your high tower, he's right smack dab in the middle of it.
Amen.
And he gives us the unction to praise him. Amen. And to honor him.
Amen.
Yes, Satan, he buffets on every hand. But children of God, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world.
Amen.
And it's God that leads us and guides us and directs our mind here in this journey of life. When I come to the church, I've said this over and over. I didn't know the articles of faith. I didn't know about them. I didn't know about justification. I didn't know about predestination. But I had good teachers.
Yeah.
And I believe that when a man stands behind this big board, he ought to be apt to teach us what the Bible said.
Amen.
I'm not saying that because I was a natural teacher. I'm saying that because it's in the book.
Amen.
I heard an old brother, not been dead too often, many years. He couldn't read and write. He couldn't read and write a note. But he could preach. His wife read the Bible to him. God, he's just in control. I heard Brother Stan Cato say many times, we may think it's running amok, but God is still in control.
Amen.
He is still in control. He leads me. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But thou art me, thy God, and thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The table is here. It's in the presence of the enemies, children of God. But it is here. And upon this table, wisdom has built this house. And she's hewn out her seven pillars. She has killed her beast, mingled her bird, and finished her table. And I'm going to tell you, the table that God finished is all there. And it don't need my help. It don't need your help. But our help should be in this life to praise God, to preach the truth as it is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
And whenever that happens, Satan will go home hungry.
Amen.
He'll go home hungry. Does he want you to be here? No, he'd rather you be with that smiling feller or somewhere else. And I'm going to tell you, children of God, I believe this with all of my strength, that God will have a witness here as long as this world shall last. He will have a witness here. Because God is God, and beside him there is none other. And I think my God, and I think about that sometimes, that the Lord is my shepherd. Is that not what? We are led by a shepherd.
Exactly.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The natural wants overwhelm us sometimes. But then the spiritual want, when it feeds us, we're overwhelmed. Magnified by the grace of God. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior.
Yeah.
It doesn't make God any bigger. The children of God, it makes us feel the greatness and the bigness of God in our heart.
Yeah.
That we lift. We lift up or lift it up when we feel down.
Yeah.
So that's what. That's been my experience over the years. You know, if you want to hear something, if something's bearing down on your mind, somewhere, if the Lord don't bless you to preach, he'll bless somebody else.
Yeah.
All the years, I always wanted to hear somebody preach on the Golden Jubilee. I don't know whether Brother Tolliver remembers that or not, but he come down West Virginia and he preached it. The only time I ever heard it preached. So God feeds his children. He knows. He knows every one of you. He knows what your needs are. So let's not be taken away from the simplicity of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
She is a chaste virgin. She is a tower. She is sitting high on the hill, children of God. She is a rock in every land. She shines. She is the rose of Sharon. And she is a bright in the morning star. And children of God, she is all dressed up in a beautiful array. And not one ornament that man has is upon her robe. It is all furnished by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ,
amen.
Our God.
Amen.
He done it.
Amen.
He done it. So we come together, live together, and we worship together.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, an old pastor told me years ago, he was their pastor when I was ordained. He said, Brother Lyle, when the church is in its best order, the country is better off.
Exactly right.
If we want to see we're just a small group. I'm told by a conservative figure there might be 40 to 42,000 of us in this country. We're not going to move D.C. or even the local county courthouse. But I thank God we believe in one that can.
Amen.
We believe in a God that can move. He can make the river flow backwards. He's done that.
Yeah.
He can raise the dead.
Yeah.
He can, children of God, all of these great things that he's done, turn the water into wine, heal the sick, open the blinded eye, and unstop the deaf ear, and cause the lame to walk,
yes,
and even to raise the dead. It's wonderful to know. That's why these people... I shouldn't say anything because I've got no business turning the tube on to listen to them. But we turn it on and we hear all this. God is so weak. That's what they've got. God is so weak. Man, they ought to put him on Medicare, you know. But I'm going to tell you something. The God that I believe in, he is not weak. He is all powerful. He is everywhere. Everywhere right this minute. He is all over this universe. He created it. And who can you liken God to? We compare people, don't we? Well, it looks good. I might compare Georgia to Alabama, Brother Tommy.
Oh, boy.
There's a compare. He didn't hear that. There's a comparison between people and things. In the classroom, we're always making comparison. You can compare some good to evil. But who can you compare one to that could take absolutely nothing, I mean nothing, and create a whole universe? Fling the stars out in the sky. Put the moon up there, the sun up there, all the planets. They make their rounds every day. They constantly make their rounds. I know one of the writers said to the noonday star, makes her rounds, children of God, I believe, that God makes his rounds among his children here in this journey of life. Amen. I feel like sometimes that I am a child of Jehovah. I am a subject of grace. I'm of the seed royal. I'm a dignified race, a portion that is worth more than the Andes of gold, which cannot be wasted, nor mortgaged, nor sold. Isn't that wonderful? The old poet that wrote that, isn't that wonderful that we can feel that? How that evidence, the simplicity of the Lord's Christ to come together, worship together, and rejoice together.
Amen.
In the hope of a Savior's love.
Amen.
I know my race is about run. The people of God, I've never regretted a day that I've been in the Old Baptist Church.
Yeah.
And if there's anybody here that's on the outside looking in, I saw a lot of water coming up here. And I'm sure Brother Gary's he's a sizable person that he can take care of it. So what hindereth? What hindereth? What hindereth the unicorn? I tell children of God, I've heard people say when I was growing up, oh, put it off just as long as you can. Just as long as you can put it off. And then when you can't put it off no more, you're going to be a candidate for the church. I'm going to tell you, people of God, if you feel Him and the working of God's power is in Him, go down to the water. When you come out into units of life, there's going to be something on the inside that you never saw before.
Amen.
Amen.
You may have thought you was happy, but you ain't seen nothing yet.
Amen.
May God bless you. I've heard it.